Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest.
We've got Stephen Bradley from legendary OC band No Doubt.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Hello, I'm Linda Halligan. Oh no, that's not right. Today on the show we have Linda Halligan, and she'll be here to count down the top five peanut foods in anticipation of the Peanuts movie on Friday.
Yeah, and pretty much the biggest Orange County band ever, No Doubt. Stephen Bradley will be here, trumpeter, keyboardist, and vocals. Very excited to have him later on.
I wonder if he does vocals and trumpet at the same time. That's an interesting question.
You can ask him.
We can ask him later. And we're going to feature another non-profit in Caroline's Cause Corner. And it's all coming up on Daily Scramble Live. Grab a coffee.
On KX93.5, your Daily Scramble News now.
It's news time. It's news time with Tyler Russell in the newsroom.
Some exciting thunderstorms last night, right?
I heard, yeah, I did see that. I saw some flashing lights in the sky, even in Aliso Viejo.
Well, they only lasted intermittently for about 30 minutes, and that could be reminiscent of what El Nino is going to be like, these short, fierce, loud thunderstorms. But they were flashy.
Yeah.
There's no rain in the forecast today. We'll still have some high 14-mile-per-hour winds today and a crisp, lovely 69-degree high. I'm wearing a beanie, a jacket, and a sweater this morning.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in New York City.
We're playing at it, aren't we? But 69 is cool for us.
49% humidity today, and the next forecast rain is on Monday.
All right, then.
Okay.
Yep.
The Dana Point City Council gave its approval Tuesday for electronic gates to restrict access to one path into Strand Beach, despite some calls from environmentalists to keep the route open. On Tuesday night, more than a dozen people addressed the city council opposing the plan, and at least six, including four homeowners from the gated Strand neighborhood, spoke in favor of the gates and the restricted hours. In the end, the city council voted unanimously for a coastal development plan to change the times the public has access to Strand Beach through specific points around the neighborhood through electronically programmed gates that would open 1 hour before sunrise and close 1 hour after sunset.
Gates, eh?
Can't get into the Strand anymore.
Gates.
If you wanted to.
Gates. That's so un-American. Gates. What is this, Soviet Russia? Why are we gating things? What's wrong with them? Is it because it's a gated community, or is it to protect the wildlife and the eco-structure of the beach?
It's because it's a gated community. The environmentalists opposed it because it would be not good for the animals that needed to come and go.
We should be marching in the streets. It should be a revolution.
Protesting the Strand gates?
Yep.
All right, you organize that, and I'll not show up. Looking out,
I'll organize it, and I won't show up either.
Looking outside the Laguna bubble in our news this morning, U.S. lawmakers and federal watchdogs took the occasion Tuesday to deride the TSA's ability, or lack thereof, to adequately detect weapons and other contraband during the passenger screening process at our country's airports. Auditors posing as travelers discovered enormous loopholes in the TSA screening process. A leak classified report this summer found that as much as 95% of contraband, like weapons and explosives, got through during testings. The failures included failures in technology, failures in TSA procedures, and human error.
Is it just me, or those people at the TSA, God bless them, they're like the people that bag your shopping at Ralph's. It's one level above Down syndrome. They're just, I mean, they're not employing the brightest and the best, are they? And they really should be. Because that's where the sort of the borders are to our country.
I mean, if I can get through with my shoes on and a giant bottle of liquid and I don't take my laptop out of the bag, which are things I do. I mean, I admittedly break the rules every time because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
And they oftentimes don't realize.
I think a lot of people are like that. And the rules are different around the world, too. So when you fly internationally, you go through one gate and then... And then they do that. This most stupid thing of all time is when you fly in, you go to duty free, you get a bottle of whiskey for your Uncle Sid, and then they take it off you when you land at the next place. Nobody explains to you that you're going to have to, I don't know, you've got to be, you've, you've got to be smarter than them. I don't suppose it takes that much.
Right. So, you know, I think this is bad news for a couple reasons. One, 95% of things have gotten through TSA. Yeah. Two, now it's going to be even more ridiculous, probably after this story, to go through security.
You ever walk through the border at Mexico? Every time I walk through that border, once in a while, you know, we go to Mexico once in a while, you come with it, and I always think to myself, I could bring anything I wanted through this border. Nobody would stop.
Well, it's
nobody
easier to go into Mexico than back
than to
out.
Come out. Yeah. Of course, yeah. But even coming back, I always think to myself, crikey, I could have a six pack of grenades here, and they'd never find them. Or they don't even stop you half the time. It's just a joke. Yeah. It's a joke.
It's facade, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose
it's a show that we have security.
Yeah.
All right, finally in the news this morning, Robin Williams' widow says that his medical afflictions would have claimed his life within 3 hard years, and she doesn't blame him for his suicide. This is brand new news. She said he was suffering from a rare form of dementia that may have caused him to suffer from a lack of reason. 15 months after the actor took his life, Susan Schneider told the U.S. media that she laid the blame for her husband taking his life not on depression, but on what's called Lewy body dementia. In interviews, she said it was not depression that killed Robin. Depression was one of, let's call it, 50 symptoms, and it was a small one.
Oh, okay.
I think that's big news. A lot of people were very upset and wish they could have done more friends of Robin Williams's to help him through that suicide, but it turns out he was just preempting a disease that would have killed him anyway.
Doesn't it seem a little odd that she would say this now?
I know it is. I don't know why she wouldn't chime in earlier.
I'm not saying she should have done the rounds of the late night chat shows when he first died, but a statement would have been helpful, wouldn't it?
Sure.
He was in the public eye.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Got one more story in here that I included just for you.
Oh, thanks.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, of course.
2,100 sheep blanks forced a plane to make an emergency landing.
Okay, finish the headline.
2,400 sheep blanks forced a plane to land.
Keep in mind, it's a story for you.
A story for me. It must be the noise that they made, no? Sheep. Bars, is that what you call them?
Bah. 2,186 sheep farts forced a plane to make an emergency landing.
I love a joke about a fart.
I know you love fart stories.
Yeah.
The Aviation Herald reports the cargo flight from Australia to Kuala Lumpur on Singapore Airlines with 4 crew and 2,186 sheep on board was flying just south of Indonesia when the smoke alarm sounded. So they descended the aircraft immediately and diverted to Bali, where they landed about 45 minutes later. But they didn't find any trace of fire or smoke and identified the cause to be the result of exhaust gases and manure produced by the sheep.
Manure.
So they...
These are a few of my favorite things.
They went on their way shortly after.
Great.
That.
Great. It's a good thing we don't have our smoke alarm set quite so...
not yesterday. So, yeah, there you go.
Yep, Trumpy old sheep, eh? Well, they eat a lot of grass, a lot of roughage. Fiber, that'll do it.
From gated beaches to Robin Williams' suicide to sheep farts this morning.
We've bounced around the old newscape quite well, haven't we?
I'd say so.
Good thing you didn't mix it up and say Robin Williams died of flatulence.
Too soon. All right, let's play that brand new Weezer song. I love this tune. It's called Thank God for Girls on KX93.5.
The girl in the pastry shop.
KX93.5, hello.
Hello, this is Carmen at Cardholder Services calling in reference to your current credit card account. It is urgent that you contact us.
I think this chick fancies me. I think she loves me. She calls me every day.
Your final notice.
She's got quite a sexy voice for a woman that's looking
at
card services. Do we owe money?
Do you?
I don't owe any money, no.
I don't.
Well, I mean, I do owe money, but I'm making my payments, you know.
Everybody owes money.
Yeah, but I'm making payments regularly. I don't.
Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Wow.
Good chat, though.
Yeah.
Thanks
for calling.
KX93.5, hello.
Hello, this is Carmen at Cardholder Services.
It's Carmen again.
To your current credit card account.
Carmen, you've got to stop calling me at work. Babe, it's very nice of you. Wait, what's she saying?
Oh. Press the number
1
now.
Is she ending it with you?
Lower your interest rate or press the number 3 to discontinue further services.
You should know this is your final notice.
I think it's time to press the number 3 to discontinue further notices.
Shall we do that? Go on.
We're going to miss you, Carmen. It's been real.
Goodbye.
Ah! What a weird, weird story this is. Romanian Prime Minister Victor Ponta has resigned. The Romanian Prime Minister. Romania is an interesting place because it's kind of an island in Europe, especially linguistically. It's not that their language is different to any other language. It's not like Italian or like Spanish or like French. Interesting place. Anyway, Victor Ponta, the Prime Minister, has resigned. Why has he resigned? Because 20,000 people took to the streets. Why did they take to the streets, Jason? To protest over a nightclub fire that killed 32 people. There was a blaze on Friday night in Bucharest, and it started when a band performing at the club set off fireworks inside. I don't think the Prime Minister had anything to do with planning this.
Right, so why did he resign?
I think he called the band and said, I've got a great idea.
Let's set off some fireworks.
Pyrotechnics, that's what you need. Demonstrators called Mr. Ponta to step down, complaining of government corruption and poor safety supervision.
What, right? How on earth is this his fault?
Not enough government, that's what they're saying. I'm handing in my mandate, I'm resigning, and implicitly my government too, Mr. Ponta said in a statement. I hope the government's resignation will satisfy the people who came out in the streets. It sounds to me he was over it.
Sounds like he resigned for 32 people.
He was looking for a way out, an excuse. He said, you know, I can't govern these people. They've set fire to themselves at gigs. People are just impossible.
And then protesting it.
And that, yeah, so.
All right.
I don't know whether this is supposed to be a joke, but the headline says, Ponta under fire. dear, oh dear. Anyway,
well, that's what's going on in Romania today.
It's a coalition, so the junior ruling party said in a statement on Wednesday, is willing to keep supporting the existing coalition government in which it shares power with Mr. Ponta's Social Democratic Firework Party. Oh, no, it doesn't say that.
Have you ever lit off fireworks at one of your gigs?
No, but I've seen damage done by fireworks at a gig. There used to be a band, I just remember their name. Never mind, anyway, they did a lot of, like, heavy rock covers, a lot of AC/DC.
Okay.
And when they kept, do you know that song, Whole Lot of Rosie by AC/DC?
No.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Rosie,
they all sound like that. That's every AC/DC song.
It is, you're right. But the crowd shouts, Rosie, Rosie. Well, they would shout the name of this band, and if I could just remember it, banana, something.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had fireworks that went off at a certain point at the front of the stage. It was a small gig, maybe the size of the Marine Room or a bigger stage, but that kind of capacity. And the firework went off and burned the guitarist's hand, but he carried on. Remember, we talked about it for months afterwards, how cool this guy was. He was a hero because he carried on. And his girlfriend kept coming up with wet tea towels and draping them over his hand so he could finish this.
Jeez.
Rock. What a hero. What
Third
a brave
burns.
Man. I don't know.
Have you ever seen the video of there's a Mexican radio DJ and he's live on the air and all of a sudden his studio is set ablaze.
Oh, my God.
But he doesn't stop the broadcast, and it's talk radio.
Right.
And I think he might be like commentating a soccer game or something. So he's commentating the game, and with his other hand trying to get this fire out.
Right. Yeah.
Don't play or work or continue through a fire. That should be our PSA to the world.
If I thought there was a fire in here for one second, I'd be outside.
Just stop. Yeah, we'll have dead air indefinitely.
Yeah.
Until we return.
That's right. So that's what's happening in Romania today. Well, you pointed at me like you needed a story, so that was it, I'm afraid.
I've got a quick thing I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
I got a new video game called Guitar Hero Live.
Ah, I've heard of Guitar Hero.
And right.
You know that I've never played any video, not since, I think, Pac-Man was the last video game I played.
I want you to play this game. It's an upgraded version of Guitar Hero, which formerly is a plastic guitar with 5 buttons, and you press them in time with the melody on the song.
I've seen
and you play the song. Now they've added a new string. So there's a top string and a bottom string. So you have to make, well, by string, I mean buttons. There's a top row and a bottom row. And you have to make combinations with your fingers in order to execute the songs.
It's a bit more like playing a guitar than
right.
it was before.
That's the idea.
Okay.
And it's great fun.
And you're still moving through a sort of, you've got to keep playing.
Yeah.
Or you lose the game, it stops.
Yes, basically. But here's what's really cool about it. They filmed live audiences for each song. Mm. So every song, like, for example, they have the Lumineers Hohei, and they have a band that looks a lot like the Lumineers on stage,
yep.
and you're with them, and you're seeing them, and you look out in the audience, and people are singing along to the song. They have thousands of extras that they filmed to do it, so you feel like you're really on stage. And then if you start messing up, you turn to look at your drummer, and he's like, what are you doing, man? And if you're doing well, like, the bassist will be like, yeah.
Be rocking.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it or how they produced it, but it's amazing.
Huh. Bands are funny, aren't they? Because bands do, when they're playing, there's a sort of a certain dynamic that's going on stage. I may be going off on a tangent here.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, drummers are drumming, and I don't know what they're thinking. They're looking out at the crowd, and they're looking at the girls, and they're going, wow, this is going great, and I think this band are brilliant, and we're playing so much better than we were last time. Boom, boom, you know, the girls are out there. The guitar player's clearly, it's all about himself. Like the lead guitarist, check me out. You know, and he's got his foot on the monitor, and he's like, I'm a rock god, check me out. It's all kinds of things going on. And the singer's out there just trying to connect with each face in the crowd. Yeah, I'm singing this to you, and I'm feeling good today. My hair looks good, and blah, blah, blah. And the bass player, you know what he's thinking? G, 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 C, 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 C.
I was trying to find my rim shot because I knew you were getting to a punchline.
You think it's going
to
be a joke?
That's a good one.
Anyway, so you're playing this game.
What?
There's a game.
Oh, yeah. I was pretty much done.
You're
talking
done with
about
that?
It.
You know,
there it is.
Thanks. They get. It sounds very much like the kind of thing that when they try and prove that monkeys are intelligent, it's the kind of thing they get them to do.
What's happening?
Is that my computer that's making a noise?
Esther, is your phone ringing? Esther.
Oh, Esther.
God. Live radio, Esther.
I panicked. I thought it was me. Esther's here cleaning the studio.
All right,
so
I think it's time for us to play
a
song.
Fine. Yeah.
This band's called Hoonch. They're a duo out of L.A. They've been featured in lots of big things like Billboard, MTV, and USA Today. And here they are on our station.
Daily Scramble Live.
This is Daily Scramble Live, our morning show on KX93.5. I'm Tyler Russell. That's Jason Fetty.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well. That
Good.
Was a cool
yes.
song by Astronauts Etc. Solo artist Anthony Ferraro, who goes by Astronauts Etc. out of Oakland with Shake It Loose.
Astronauts Etc. Let's imagine what the Etc. would be.
It's just one guy, so I'm not sure.
Astronauts and greengrocers, butchers, and I'm just thinking of other jobs.
Oh, I see.
Gainful employment. Astronauts and hairdressers.
Botanists.
Yep.
If you've seen The Martian.
Botanists will be needed. I haven't seen the... Have I seen The Martian? I can't remember.
He's a botanist.
Oh, that's right. No, I haven't seen it.
It's a great film.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay. I fell asleep last night watching the first Quentin Tarantino movie, which he didn't... Tom Scott directed it, but he wrote it. It's called True Romance, and I fell asleep. Which is very strange, because usually my wife falls asleep, but last night, she stayed awake.
That's really interesting, Jason.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
Sorbet of the day, everybody. I've got my kazoo out in the hope that we'll play Name That Kazoo a little later.
Yes.
Okay, if like me, you wake up flustered and obsessing, here's a quick cerebral sorbet. It's a cleanser for your mental palate. It's soap for your cerebellum.
A loofah. For your limbic system.
That's correct. The windshield wiper for the mind. Okay. Fishing, my friends, is inherently hypocritical. Get a barbed hook into the upper lip of a salmon, drag him endlessly round the river until he loses his strength, pull him onto the bank, and hit him on the head with a stone, and you may well become Fisherman of the Year. However, shoot the salmon and you'll never be asked back again.
That was the sorbet of the day.
Very good.
Sorbet of the day.
I like that one today.
Daily Scramble Live.
That's such a great song from Hippocampus. Another kind of collegiate band out of St. Paul, similar to, let's say, a Vampire Weekend. That song is called South. Daily Scramble Live is our radio show. KX93.5 is our radio station. And Winter Concert Classic is our upcoming fundraiser, co-presented by ourselves in the montage with Kenny Loggins. You're chewing, so I'll just keep going. Kenny Loggins is playing at Irvine Bowl, which is where Pageant of the Masters is here in Laguna Beach. Tickets are on sale now for pre-sale members of KX93.5. You can become a member, receive your code, and buy your tickets. And I'll tell you what, we sold a lot of tickets yesterday.
I know.
Yeah.
Delighted.
So people should go online and get them if you want a good seat. Now, Jason, we have a problem with social media. We have a problem.
Which problem do we have? Which problem are you going to be concerned with right now?
Our latest problem with social media.
Okay.
We announced a big concert on Monday.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, there are times when we post something to social media and all we want you to say is, congratulations, that sounds great. That's all we want you to say.
Like in this case, congratulations, that sounds great. I'm off to buy a ticket right now.
Done.
That's it.
That's a good social media interaction for us in this particular
concert.
What
are people doing?
Not naming any names, but people love to make things about themselves. In any case,
yeah.
We both talked about this the other day. You post an opinion of yours, you post something that happened good in your life, or you post a concert that you're doing, and the reaction is, oh, I know Kenny Loggins, or I saw Kenny Loggins in 19 blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's very nice. But right now, we just want to slap on the back. That's all we want.
There's something about that, isn't there, on Facebook or on Instagram or one of those things. I get what you're saying. It almost bursts your bubble. You post a picture of yourself with Paul McCartney, and you're so excited.
Yeah.
You met Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And then somebody posts, oh, I met him in 87.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Here's my picture with him. It's their opportunity to prove something about your content.
It's self-centered. It's ridiculous. Just be happy for the person that posted whatever it was.
And then post your Paul McCartney picture on your wall.
Even if you can't bear it and you're so jealous and you're so irritated and you met him first and he's your friend. Paul McCartney's my friend, not yours. Right? Just like it. Just hit like.
And if you're going to complain about the content of the post, for example, I hate Kenny Loggins. If that was the content of your, if that's what you wanted to say, first say, wow, great job, you guys. I'm sure this will be great for the community.
Gone too far.
And then say, too bad, yeah. I hate Kenny Loggins.
That's all right. You can post I hate Kenny Loggins if you want. I don't give a rat's, you know what.
I just want there to be a little more political correctness on Facebook.
Is that what you want? All
just
of a sudden,
little more politeness,
mate. It's not built for that, is it?
The internet, man.
It's built for saying what you want and all the things that you yell at the car in front when you're stuck at a red light and they're reading the paper or checking their Facebook, you know, and they take an extra 3 seconds to get through the light and you toot your horn or you don't toot your horn, but you yell at them in your own car. That's what Facebook's for. You can actually do it. You can actually reach people with that kind of rant. It's pretty good in that way. But it's the thing that people make it about themselves. That's what bugs. It's all right if you say, I hate Kenny Loggins. Fine.
Right.
You hate Kenny Loggins. Great. Nobody cares about that. But if you say, I met Kenny Loggins back in, you know, 96, that's just takes something away from us.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I agree. It's burst people's bubbles. It's very tempting. But it shows a certain lack of, it's an unevolved mentality when you do that.
I think there's a word I can never say, and you always correct me. How do you say anonymity?
Anonymity.
Anonymity.
Anonymity, yeah.
Can't say that word. Anonymity. One of three words I can't say.
Yep. What's the other two?
You know what the other one is, because I said it wrong once in a meeting, and you laughed at me.
I can't remember.
Oh, man, there's another one.
Right.
Okay, so the anonymity.
Yep.
Of the internet, especially like with a YouTube comment or a tweet or something, allows people to be the biggest cuss words they've ever been in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair to people who are putting themselves out there. I've got an interview on YouTube with Alt-J, okay?
Right, who you love very much.
I love Alt-J very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interviewing them backstage when they first started, like 2 or 3 years ago. And I'm asking them what on earth their songs mean. Because you can't understand anything Alt-J says. You cannot argue with this. So I say, like, what does this mean? What does this mean? What is this word? This can't be a word. And they're laughing and saying, you're right. It's not really a word, like LOL. And all the comments are like, what an ass this interviewer is. He must hate Alt-J. He doesn't even like their lyrics. Blah. What? Like, no. You completely missed the point, yeah. A. And B, why would you treat someone like that?
Well, Tyler, you know, you put yourself out there, buddy.
That's what I'm saying.
You set yourself up to be knocked down. But I don't mind if you hate me. That's fine. You can just put, Jason, you're a douche on Facebook. That's fine. You know, your interview technique's terrible or whatever it is. You say what you want about it. That's fine. I don't care. But if we say we're doing something and then if somebody says they're doing something, forget us for a minute. If they say, oh, I posted a picture of myself with Elvis and you met, it takes it away from them.
Yeah. You're right.
And you think, I'm sure that the person that posts the second post doesn't feel like they're doing that.
No, and that's why we're saying this, because you don't realize this.
Yeah.
Insert person here, insert social media user. You don't realize you do this,
no,
but you do this.
No, they think they're connecting to you in some sort of, oh, bit of camaraderie. I've met that guy.
Yeah.
But you're not. That's not what you're doing. What you're doing is taking away from the person that posted the post.
Yes.
I get in trouble all the time on Facebook for political stuff because I'll argue with people and then it'll get to a point where I'll go, this is going nowhere and all I'm doing is insulting this guy. And I wish I had not started it in the first place. That's where I get in trouble on the internet.
What if you post a picture of a hamburger right. at a hamburger restaurant that's like this ridiculous hamburger? It's got like 5 buns. You know, it's like the stacked tower burger and you're so excited to try it. And you say, I'm very excited to finally try this hamburger. I've been waiting my whole life. What if somebody posts something like, oh, you should have got the other one.
Should have got the fish and chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't do that either.
No. Takes the wind out of your sails. But you shouldn't be posting pictures of your hamburgers anyway. It's annoying.
I think we've made our point. Here's the Cardigans Daily Scramble Live.
Your weekly countdown. The top 5 on KX93.5.
Yeah, once a week, Linda Halligan comes in the studio and counts down the top 5 something here on Daily Scramble Live. Good morning, Jason Fetty.
Count it down.
Count it down, people.
What do you got today for us?
Well, first I'm going to talk about a couple of big movies coming out this Friday. The two big ones, Spectre. That's the new James
Bond.
So
excited.
007, Me Too.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. And I feel like we've talked quite a bit about it. So
right.
We're not going to focus on that one this week. The other big one, I'm excited about it. I don't know about you guys. The Peanuts movie.
Yeah. You know, the Spectre thing, when Americans say they're really excited for James Bond, this is really, it's a terrible thing, but I have to cop to a certain amount of prejudice.
Why?
Because I just feel like it's a bit
it's
like...
It's your thing.
It's how I feel like saying to you, yeah, you don't really get it. I feel like patting you on the head and going...
Is it like you being...
patronizing fashion.
Oh, you sweet little thing.
It's like you being excited for the 4th of July or something.
Right, or you being excited about Princess Diana where I go...
But people were
royal
obsessed
family.
With Princess Diana.
I know, and the
royal
family
wedding,
and whatever,
the
yeah.
The whole thing, I mean...
And they should do a James Bond where the sexual interest or, you know, the romantic interest...
Uh-huh.
The sexy bird that's always in James Bond
right.
is Princess Diana. That would be great.
What?
Brilliant. I'd watch that. But I mean, obviously, we all grew up on James Bond. I know it's a petty prejudice on my part. It's really ridiculous.
Well, you mentioned the sexy bird in Spectre, and I just said we're not going to talk much about it. Here
right,
we go.
Right, here we are talking about it.
The sexy bird in this one is the oldest sexy bird.
I read
Bond
that.
Girl. And she's thinking, you know, why
girl,
do you call me Bond Girl? I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Monica Bellucci, but she's gorgeous. All right, but we're talking about
like
the
her.
Peanuts, people.
Yeah.
I just watched...
How
Great
old is
pumpkin,
she?
Charlie.
Is she old?
She's 50.
She's too old.
51?
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I don't care.
She's a young... Hey, guys, we're talking about the Peanuts movie.
Okay.
But we're not really talking about the Peanuts movie.
All right.
We're talking about the top 5 foods featuring peanuts.
So you went from James Bond to the Peanuts
yep.
movie to
uh-huh.
foods with peanuts
uh-huh.
in it.
Uh-huh.
Foods
right,
with
yep.
peanuts. I think
because
I may be allergic to this countdown.
I knew you two would not want to talk about cute little Snoopy, Woodstock, Charlie Brown, Peppermint Patty.
Yeah,
for the
next 10 minutes.
I don't dislike the peanuts.
Okay.
I can't watch it. I have a peanuts allergy. I'm not.
Well, that's good that you brought that up because if you do have a peanut allergy, and a lot of people do, this is a very serious thing, this is not the list for you. But keep listening. Don't turn off the radio.
All right. So foods with peanuts in
foods featuring peanuts. And you know what I have to say? They have been called the world's healthiest food.
I have no idea where you're going to go with this, Liz. I can't think
this
of
is
one.
My list.
I can't think
it's
of
so
one
funny
thing
to say. Foods featuring peanuts. Really funny
featuring
thing to say.
Peanuts.
You go to the store and you've got your like peanut butter featuring peanuts.
So right. One would hope. I'm okay, ready. Here we go. Peanuts, first of all, I will tell you the one thing I will not mention in this top five list. Circus peanuts. Do you know what those are?
Yeah,
those
I do. They're the orange rubber
marshmallowy
things.
What
yeah,
is
they're really
that?
Gross.
That's nasty.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
Disgusting. They sell those at Five and Dime store. There's a reason. Five and Dime. Okay. All right, we're moving on. Number five, Nutter Butter Cookies.
Yeah.
I'm also putting into the number five homemade peanut butter cookies.
So there's two in there.
We're just doing peanut butter cookies. Okay. But a lot of people love the Nutter Butters and they go, oh, I remember eating Nutter Butters when I was a kid. But if you have a delightful peanut butter cookie recipe, send it to my Facebook page, facebook.com/LindaHalliganTV. I want to know all about it. With the holidays coming up, maybe everybody wants to get a great peanut butter cookie recipe.
Do you like peanut butter and chocolate?
You're getting ahead of the game here, man.
I'm sorry.
I do like peanut butter and chocolate.
I meant in a cookie.
I'll be honest, even though this is my personal list, I don't love peanut butter cookies. But people do.
Are you okay
Jason's
over
falling
there?
Asleep over here. What is going on?
I just get peanuts. Funny thing about peanut butter, it's been thrust on us, hasn't it, by the peanut manufacturers. I don't think the peanut is the king of nuts. I think there are way better nuts than the peanut.
Oh, but it is.
Well,
it is in society.
Pistachios and almonds, which are also fabulous.
It's been thrust
nuts
on
in
us
general like. Are good for you. Peanuts good for your heart. It's a source of antioxidants. There was a recent study saying that adults who consume nuts on a regular basis were likely to live 2 years longer than their non-nut eating counterparts. That's hard to say.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind. All right, everybody. We're moving on to number four. You might be surprised. Number four, peanuts themselves.
Oh.
They don't even get the number
this
one
is
spot.
Wilder and wilder as we go on.
The best
the
peanuts.
The actual peanut, yeah.
Alert from.
I'm going with salted, honey roasted, and dry roasted. Yeah. Those are the best. I'm excited to get them on an airplane. I like pretzels.
I love a dry roasted peanut. I must
so
say.
Good.
I do like a dry roasted. When I used to drink, I used to like to eat dry roasted peanuts. They make you thirsty.
I like the That's places true. Where you just throw them on the floor when you're done with
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
There's restaurants where you can
What about
just
the
throw
nut, the peanut that's still in its shell, the monkey nut?
The monkey nut?
Yeah, they're called monkey nuts.
I've still never a heard
peanut,
of the monkey
nut. It's a peanut in its shell and you have to crack them open.
That's a peanut.
Yeah.
Right, it's a peanut.
That's in what it, I'm talking about. Where you eat the nut, you throw
it. I actually like
the shell
different.
the best because it's so salty and delicious.
You know, when I lived in Israel years and years and years ago, everybody ate sunflower seeds.
Uh-huh.
And you would throw the seed case on the ground.
Right.
And everywhere you went, there were sunflower seeds all over the ground, everywhere. But they banned them. And I didn't realize. I went back to Israel maybe 7-8 years later, and I ate a bunch of of monkey nuts and sunflower seeds on the back of the bus. A big pile of cases on the floor. And as I exited the bus, the driver said, excuse me, in Hebrew, excuse me. I said, yeah. He said, go clean up the mess at the back of the bus. And he handed me a broom.
And did you clean them up?
Cleaned them up, yeah.
You should go to Riddle Field in Laguna Beach. That's the Little League field, which is an amazing field. But there are sunflower seeds all over the place.
Since
there.
Jason's so experienced in cleaning up seeds.
Oh, give me a
Love
broom.
Love the field, clean up the sunflower seeds.
I know how to do it.
All right, number three on the peanut list.
Okay, well, don't forget about peanuts. And I just want to say real quick, Jason mentioned when he drank, he ate like the bowl of peanuts.
Yeah.
They advise you don't do that because they say, you know, those are bowls that at bars where everybody reaches in, strangers are reaching in, and they say some people don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom. So the amount of germs.
Oh, no, I have the statistic.
Yeah.
I have the statistic.
Let's hear it.
One bowl of mints. You know, the mints that are at the cash register on the way out of the restaurant. One bowl of mints, 14 different men's urine.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, people.
That's what led to the banning of just the mint in and of itself. They wrap them now in cellophane, don't they?
Right. But you can't ask for your own bowl of
pretzels. You guys are ruining everything for me.
Peanuts. Men. Sorry. Yeah. Wah, wah.
But just put the bowl of nuts in the bathroom. That would be the way to do it.
Just go straight to the store.
Eat them while you're going to the bathroom. Yeah. Okay, number three. This is my list of the top five foods featuring peanuts. Number three. Peanut M&M's. So good.
Mm.
Are you guys fans?
Mm. Yeah. Here's the problem with this list for me, Linda, is I don't like nuts.
Well,
so none of this,
that is a problem.
None of this resonates with me. I eat the plain M&M's.
You know, there is a reason they call them peanuts. I think based on what Jason just told us about that study. Peanuts. Yeah.
If you say penis quickly enough, it sounds like penis.
Yes, it does.
That's also fun.
Can you say that
me.
On the air? He
I
just
like
did.
It.
I have some interesting facts about peanut M&M's.
I knew you would.
Right? I do my research. On average, the mix of each variety of M&M's follows these color percentage breakdowns. This is for peanut M&Ms. It's different for regular M&Ms.
Wow.
Brown, 20%. Yellow, 20%. 20% blue, 20% red. 10% orange, 10% green. And you know, you've always heard about rock stars saying they want the green M&Ms in the dressing room. I have some interesting information about Van Halen. Do you remember this whole thing?
Yeah, I do.
They're all high maintenance.
I mean, I don't remember it,
no,
but I'm aware of it.
No brown M&Ms, no brown peanut M&Ms are allowed in the dressing room. Well, I read an article on entrepreneur.com, and it explains that. Sure, they might be high maintenance for other reasons, but the reason they did that back in the 70s when they were really coming up is because they were playing at all these venues. Some of them were kind of falling apart, and they had to bring in all this heavy equipment, sound equipment, and all this stuff, and they wanted to make sure they have a rider, you know, so they wanted to make sure that the concert promoter would read every single thing on the rider so they wouldn't get hurt. They thought that their bandmates and people would get injured. So they put that in there to make sure that they read every single word on that rider.
Mistake, though, isn't it? Because we put on a lot of gigs. We could easily provide blue M&Ms. We could get an intern to do that and then provide a dodgy crane.
Because we spent too much effort separating the M&Ms.
True. Right. It is time consuming. Okay, number two. We just had Halloween. Hopefully you got some of these in your trick-or-treat bags. I know you guys were out there pretending to be kids. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I knew it was going to be that.
Yeah,
you don't like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
No, it's my favorite thing on the list so far. Okay, it's actually the only thing on the list I really do like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
I've grown to love them because, you know, peanut butter is not a big thing in Britain.
Really?
Or wasn't when I was growing up. And certainly the peanut butter candy is very much an American thing. Reese's, very much an American thing. But I've learned and grown to love the peanut butter, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yes.
And since I gave up sugar, I don't eat that much candy. I found some diet ones, some sugar-free ones that are really good.
Really? They're Reese's?
Yeah, because sugar-free candy is not usually very good.
No.
But if you put peanut butter in it, you still get the pleasure
of
the peanut butter.
All right, good. And Reese's, they have a bunch of different...
What you're looking for is pleasure. We're looking for pleasure here.
Yeah, that's why you eat a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Yeah. They also have the minis, the sticks, the Reese's Pieces. Of course, E.T. love those Reese's Pieces. But if anyone out there has some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and I'm talking about the real cups, not like the tiny ones. Those are good too, but I like the bigger ones.
No, the bigger ones.
Send them my way if you don't
want
them.
Absolutely. What doesn't work is the Snickers peanut butter bar with the extra peanut butter.
No, I've never tried that.
Yeah, it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Not interested in that.
Yep.
Before I announce number one, let's play that song.
Stand by, it's loading.
Eventually.
An error occurred, it says.
Oh.
Can't play it.
Oh, are you serious?
Well, hang on. Keep stalling.
Well, good news is, I know it.
It's a peanut butter song that Linda's asked us to... Is it
loading
now?
Are you
ready? Here we go.
There it is.
Here we go.
Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Way at.
Is this what you wanted?
This is it. One of the most annoying songs ever, but it's catchy, isn't it? Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Come on, guys.
I don't know if I'd call it catchy.
It may be.
No? Peanut butter jelly in the baseball. Come on. No?
What is that?
Baseball bat, right?
Peanut butter jelly and a what?
A baseball bat. Isn't that what they say? And then there's this dancing banana.
I don't know. Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter jelly. Yeah.
Why is there a banana dancing?
I don't know. I looked it up because I know the song, but I never knew where it came from.
Well, they couldn't put a peanut on there. He's singing about eating peanuts.
This was flash animation that first emerged at the beginning of this century. And the animation is based on a song of the same name, which was recorded by DJ Chipman of the Buckwheat Boys. That's all I can tell you. I've never heard of them, but I know the song.
It's one of the most frustrating things I've ever heard or seen.
Yeah.
Yep.
I want Little Dicky to do one about matzo ball soup.
Matzo ball soup, matzo ball soup, matzo ball soup and gefilte fish. Do you like that?
I do like it.
It's good. I'm here all week. Actually, I'm not here all week, you guys. I'm not going to be on the show until December.
All right, you're not going to be back?
No.
No, you're not, but I'm too excited. Is that the number one thing?
Peanut butter.
Oh, I didn't even...
It's peanut
Sorry.
Butter.
Sorry. My mind's already in Florida, where I'll be for the next month. Okay, peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm very picky about my peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, yeah?
Chunky peanut butter, grape jelly, no strawberry, it's got to be grape jelly, white Wonder Bread. I can vary on the white bread if I have to, but Wonder Bread's really the way to go.
So bad
Glass
for you.
Glass of cold milk. Well, I looked it up. 343 calories, approximately.
Yeah, but it's mostly sugar.
Yeah, but it's really good.
It's just a flat piece of sugar.
It makes me happy, though.
I know. You know what I've discovered? Because I'm a low-carb guy, right? Or try to be.
Listen to you. No drinking, no sugar. You're good.
Well, I try to. I don't do very well at this, but I'm trying to be. So here's my PB&J tip for the day.
Okay.
Tortillas, flat flour tortillas. You can buy a low-carb version, which actually isn't too bad. So there's like 3 grams of carbs in one big old tortilla.
Okay.
And you can make a PB&J wrap out of it with good old nutty peanut butter, like the real stuff, not the Jiffy that's full of sugar, but
the
very low sugar peanut butter, which is good because it's good and greasy.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then...
Is that the kind you have to mix up because all the oil sort of comes to the top?
Yeah, you've got to mix it up before you use the before you use it. So you spread that on there, and then I spread... not sugar-free jam, because it doesn't work. Jelly, sugar-free jelly's lousy.
Yeah.
But the low sugar, just the stuff that's like fruit spread.
Right, more
that
natural.
Kind of stuff, yeah. Okay. Fruit spread, little, just a line of it, maybe half an inch fat, but along the tortilla. Then I wrap it up, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Reasonably low carbs. It's not a diet food.
Right, but better for the kids, health-wise, than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's a good option.
This has
like
been
that.
The most educational Top 5 countdown we've ever done.
I didn't expect to be excited about this, but I am.
Good. Peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. I'll leave you with that.
Linda Halligan joins us for the Top 5 on KX93.5 every week. You can learn more at Linda Halligan TV on Facebook. I suppose we'll see you in like a month, right?
December 9th, I believe. Is that the Wednesday? Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a
I'll
nice workcation.
Thank you.
Jason and I will be here listening to the peanut butter song.
Sounds amazing.
On repeat.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye-bye.
All right, we've been talking all morning about how excited we are to have this dude in studio. This is KX93.5, and Stephen Bradley is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's up?
you made it in, man.
Yeah, I did make it in. I really have a feel for people who commute every day. It's pretty much like killing yourself slowly with a very sharp knife every morning.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's a terrible situation.
You've got the life, man. You're in a band. You play at night. You don't have to worry about traffic.
Today was a reality check.
Yeah.
You know, I got the email. They were like, hey, 9 o'clock a.m. And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, eh. I knew it was going to be a problem. I knew I was not going to make it on time. But I'm here, and that's what counts.
And the map thing says it take you an hour, and you know it's going to be 2.5 hours to get down.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of metrics they use in that thing, but it's never right. And they're always trying to tell you to make this turn. Right when it's all messed up.
Well, you're here.
I am here.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Stephen Bradley, of course, of No Doubt fame, trumpeter, vocalist, keyboardist in the band, and also doing a lot of cool solo stuff that we're going to chat about. I know No Doubt just did the big Kaboo Festival.
We did the Kaboo.
Were you there? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We did.
How was that?
That was awesome, to be honest with you. It was funny. We did sound check, and we're on the stage. And there's nobody there, obviously, but you can see how big it is and how big the grounds are. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I walked out front and actually looked at the stage, and I didn't realize it was like, oh, this is like the S Festival. It was like Live Aid stage. Like,
wow.
Huge. Like, and I usually count stacks of speakers, and I think I counted like 108 on each side. I was like, oh, my gosh.
So it was a massive show.
Massive show, yeah. The audience was great. The area down there in Del Mar, I've actually never been there before, so it's beautiful.
Well, it was a first-time festival that I think is going to continue to do really well.
I mean, they really have it set up. They have a bunch of stages. Just the grounds, I guess that racetrack or whatever, they have it dialed in really nice. They have, like, fake grass. I mean, it's really, it's pretty, like, white wine sipping, especially in that little VIP section on the left.
And you saw No Doubt, Jason, right? Like,
I did.
Years ago?
So I don't know if you were playing in the band at that time, but I saw them open for U2
at
Staples.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. That was actually a really cool tour because... basically, when you think about the world's biggest rock bands, there's like Rolling Stones number one, and then like U2 is right.
Sure.
You know, as far as like how many tickets they sell, what kind of venues they play. So the U2 thing was fun because they had their own chartered plane, and I think this was the Elevation tour. I remember that because the plane actually said Elevation tour on the side.
Wow. Oh,
which was pretty
they had
cool.
Enough budget for the tour to market the plane.
Yes.
Pretty nice. Yeah.
And so. It was cool because they're like, hey, do you guys want to ride in the plane with us? We're like, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You know? And so the way they would do it is we would hub from, like, I'm going to say Van Nuys, which is that private airport over there. And at the time, I was not living in Los Angeles. So I was living up in the Bay where I'm from. And so I would be staying at this hotel, like, in Hollywood. And then about 2:30, I would get picked up, you know, had a little Lincoln Town Car take me to the airport, get on their plane. And you get on the plane, and every seat's like... first class kind of seat. You know, they have like a little snack table. It's like shrimp and cheese and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, you can smoke on the plane. You can do whatever you want. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, so we'd be on the tarmac and usually we'd be there first because we didn't want to be late. And then we'd be playing in like Denver or something like that. So I remember one day it was like, oh yeah, Bono's going to be, he's running late. He's looking at houses in Malibu. Quincy Jones like jumps on the plane, says hi to everyone. It was just completely ridiculous. So we would go, we'd play the show. We'd like land in Denver. There'd be, you know, limos and vans and all that stuff. And we'd have like a police escort take us to the venue.
Wow, you're like the president.
Ah, I mean, it was, yeah. Well, it's Bono. I mean, it's like God, the president, Bono.
Bono.
Yeah. Right. So we get to the venue and, you know, we get inside and we play and then they would play. And it's like, you know, watching them play is pretty amazing. And then we would be in the vans before they would finish the show, because after they would go straight from the stage to the limos, back out, police escort to the airport, in the plane, back home. And I would be back at the hotel for last call. Right. So these guys would see me leave the hotel and then come back, and I'd be at the bar having a drink. They're like, oh, what'd you do today? I'm like, oh, I played a show. And they're like, oh, where'd you? I was like, oh, Denver. Like, oh, wait a second.
Denver.
I just saw you leave the hotel today, man. So that was actually an amazing experience. That was really cool.
Yeah,
so,
I bet it was. Yeah. And they seemed like they were, you know, a lot of these big name bands, when the opening act comes on,
yeah,
they can be a little sort of, they want to divide themselves from the band. They don't want to get involved.
Right.
I've done some of these tours myself, and they seemed really cool. Gwen got up with Bono and sang.
Yeah.
On that night.
Yeah, they were really cool. They actually would on the days off, and we would usually stay in the same hotel, and they would get like a suite, and it would just be like furnished with like, you know, like little nibbles and alcohol, and we just hang out, and we just like talk shop.
Now you're tight with Bono.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we go out with them. One night in Austin, it was like a jump in the car. It's like Kevin Spacey's in the, you know, that kind of, that's all they're really, and I was like, but I remember one night we were up in that little, little suite, like little after party thing. And I was talking to Edge, and I was like, yo, man, like, how does your whole guitar rig work? He's like, mate, I don't even know.
He
had no idea.
Hey, so what's the guy's name? He's got a guy that's under the stage.
Oh.
Fiddles with the knobs.
They do have I call him like the little music hobbit.
Hobbit, yeah.
And we actually went down there, and there's a dude who's, he plays like some secondary guitar parts, some keyboard parts, some backing. I don't know. He was like the fill-in dude, but he was like under the stage. You know?
Yeah, I think he's worked with Edge since they were like 17, I think.
Probably.
They've just been friends forever.
Yeah, so I think that's the dude cool. who's I don't know. Yeah, that was crazy. I'd never seen that before. I'm like, there's a guy under the stage? Yeah. It's like people under the stairs, you know what I mean?
Well, Gwen's not far from that lifestyle, is she? I mean, you probably still get to ride in cars with Kevin Spacey's of the world from time to time.
From time to time, yeah. I mean, I've been to parties at her place, and there's like, you know, there's celebrities running around, and it's just kind of like I just walk by, hey, how you doing, and I just walk over to someone I actually know.
Celebrities are running around as well, it's hard to catch it, you know, like I'm just thinking of, you know, Clooney's running around there.
Yeah,
it's a little weird.
My thing is I don't talk to them unless they talk to me. That's my general
You're not a
rule.
Schmoozer.
You're too cool.
It's just, you know. What am I gonna say to, like, you know, Sylvester Stallone or something like that? Or I don't know.
Hey, Gwen? I'm in the band.
Yeah, yeah. That's not gonna happen. So no, it's cool. I just, hey, how you doing? And then
you do the right thing, because I've got some terrible stories, embarrassing stories of going up to celebrities. And just when I finally get there, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
I mean, my rule is, unless it's someone I actually am an actual fan of, not just somebody who I'm like, oh, I recognize you.
Right.
Small talk. I don't really do that. But, you know, there have been times, like, I was at this red carpet event a few months ago. And this is my bag right here. So I see the guy from Roger from What's Happening. I don't know if you remember him, the TV show. He might be passing you by, right?
It's passing me.
70s TV show.
Yeah.
That's me. And I'm like, can I get a picture? That's me. You know what I'm saying? It could be like, you know, whatever, Mel Gibson or something like that. And I'm just like, dude, can I get a picture with you? So that was like a part of my life, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
And they appreciate that. I mean, they'll connect with you a lot more if you actually know what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's my thing. If it's something, and there have been times where I would just roll up to people, I'm like, look, I need a picture. I don't care. Like, you changed my life, that kind of thing. But most people, it's like, I've seen so many of these cats, I'm just like, hey, man.
Right.
Yeah. High five, whatever.
Well, you've got a lot going on for yourself now that we'll talk about. Stephen Bradley is in studio from No Doubt, a solo EP that just came out for you over the summer.
That's right.
So what kind of inspired you to take a solo route?
Well, I've been making music for a long time. Actually, been producing other people as well, but I wanted to. It just felt right. I felt like that it was time for me. It was overdue, actually, but I wanted to start putting out stuff. And I kind of got cozy with LA and found my people and got comfortable and caught a vibe. So I actually started the Stephen Bradley solo project with a friend of mine, two friends of mine, actually, Javen Slagle and Matt Meza, who live down here. And we started off doing just trumpet improvisation over DJ beats and with visuals. And then we were like, well, let's just make some original music kind of based on what we're doing. And that's kind of how it started. So it actually never, I never intended to start putting out music. It just kind of evolved into that.
Yeah.
I think it was in like the back of my mind, but that's it kind of organically happened.
Are you happy with the end result?
Very happy.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, very happy. It, I didn't see it coming, so it was like a surprise for me, and that's my favorite kind of thing because I never like to do something where I know exactly what's going to happen. I always like to leave a little room for, hey, you never know. You know what
sure.
I mean? So I like the journey. I like the idea of walking into something new, I guess.
Well, I'd love to play a song from it. Should we do that, Chase?
Yeah, go ahead.
Feel the Music's the one we're going to play.
Yeah, cool. Run it.
So Stephen Bradley's in studio. Here's that tune, and we'll chat with him more and play a game coming up.
Sounds when KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, KX93.5.
So cool, man. Stephen Bradley is live in studio, and we just heard his song, Feel the Music, from the latest EP. Well, his first solo release ever. What's the name of that, by the way?
That's solo release is called Runaways. You could find it on iTunes, also off of SoundCloud, S. Bradley Music on Twitter, S. Bradley Music on Instagram. I have my own Pandora station. Amazon.
Just Google Stephen Bradley.
Thank you.
Jason, you were kind of sinking into that.
I just wanted to listen, yeah. I know you guys were chatting through that, but very sophisticated R&B dance music.
Thank you.
That's not your average hip-hop track.
No, it's not.
No, there's some musicianship going into that.
Musicianship. Yeah, that's the idea. The idea was to try to do a little audience trickery. Dave Tweedy, that's a shout-out to you. To actually slide some music in to with some electronic music and kind of trying to be clever about it.
No, it's very it's really sophisticated. I mean, obviously, having the trumpet there, that's cool. That'd be cool at gigs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be the gag. Like, when we play, it's like, okay, I'm singing all the, and then the trumpet, that's the gag. You know what I mean? That's like the thing that's like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
That's a simple gimmick, like you say. Yeah. Although, to play a trumpet like that, not an easy thing.
Not an easy
tough instrument. Got to have the lips for it.
Got to have everything for it.
I played trumpet in high school, and my lips always kind of went over the thing, and the band teacher hated that. He always could. I was pretty good. I was second chair, but I couldn't couldn't get the lips in.
You can hurt yourself really badly doing that thing, the lip thing.
I've got big lips for a white man. You see?
Yeah, no.
Maybe you should pick it back
does.
Up.
He actually does.
Get that Amish in together.
You think so?
Maybe. I don't know.
You keep the lips in, right, obviously?
I try to.
Yeah.
With those lips, kid, we can find some of the work going, I'm sure. I don't think people realize, like, to find a kick drum sound like that, somebody has to sit up for 3 days auditioning kick drum sounds. Somebody's got to listen and go, no, not that one, not that one. Not that one.
Probably. Yeah, that reminds me of a funny story. I'm not at liberty to tell it, but I remember there was a...
I'm glad it was funny, though.
No. Actually, a friend of mine was telling me a story about a very well-known producer who he did a session with, and they spent 2 days trying to get a kick drum sound. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, you're probably right about that.
But you can't tell the rest of the story.
No, I don't want to name names, but that's great. That was like, wow, I didn't know about that.
Well, we can see you at a few upcoming shows. You've got a residency coming up. Tell us about that.
So the residency will be is when I'm doing actually solo trumpet, and it's to kind of chilled out, similar kind of a vibe music, and that will be at the Sky Bar, which is on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, starting November, what's the second Friday of November? So I'm looking at my calendar. It's basically next Friday.
The 13th.
The 13th, yeah.
Right, the 13th, and the next one will be the 27th. So it's every second and fourth, every second and last Friday, starting in November, going for November to, I guess, March, 4 months.
Is it kind of a loungy vibe?
It's very chill, very sophisticated, very sexy. So if you got, you know, someone you want to impress, buy them some expensive drinks, hobnob with some snobby people, but listen to some amazing music. That's where you should be.
Not snobby music.
No. It's really cool. It's really cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. And then finally, let's touch on what you're working on with the guy from Steel Pulse, with your buddy.
Okay, so with my actually working with my buddy, he just texted me, David, Serious David. He's been playing and actually writing and producing with Steel Pulse for a number of years now, and we started making this record probably about a year ago. I had some demos that I had worked on over the years, and he had some stuff, so we just decided to combine forces. And we've been working out of California Sound Studios, actually not too far away from here. So shout out to the Wright Brothers. What's up?
Not of Airplane fan.
No.
Just making sure you weren't shouting out the inventors of the airplane.
Yeah, no. I mean, there might be some connection. I don't know. I'm just still trying to get some frequent flyer miles, if that was the case. They've been gracious enough to be letting us use their facility there, so I have to get them a shout out. So, yeah, we've been working on this album, and I think we're done tracking it. We have to finish one song lyrics, something like that. Then we're going to start mixing. And that project is going to be called Valley of the Kings.
Cool.
So all the people out there, start hashtagging Valley of the Kings.
The Kings, yeah. I've been there. Have you been there, Valley of the Kings?
I have been to Giza, but I've not been to Valley of the Kings.
Wow, really?
I have.
Yeah.
Well, that was amazing.
I met a lovely geezer in Valley of the Kings.
You know what?
I met a lovely geezer. Never mind.
Oh, okay. It was a British show.
Yeah,
it was a British.
Oh, okay. No, you made me think, because Steel Pulse, a British band, weren't they?
That's right.
Birmingham. Yeah, rivaled only by Aswad.
Aswad,
big reggae bands in the 1980s in Britain.
Steel Pulse, though, was Bob Marley's favorite band.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool. Yeah, so, I mean, they were one of the few, I think, reggae bands to come out of England who had, like, mad respect from, like, Jamaicans. Like, they were, like, legit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, still, you know what I mean? That legendary reggae band. So, he's a very talented dude, and I'm really, really excited about it.
Cool, man. Well, again, just search for Stephen Bradley online. You can keep in touch with all of his projects and shows and whatnot and grab that new EP, Runaways, right?
That's right.
Cool. Stephen Bradley of No Doubt. We'd love to play a quick game with you before you go.
Let's play a game.
So the game's called Name That Kazoon. Mm-hmm. I'll play the sound effect now.
It's time for Name That Kazoon.
Okay, so welcome to morning radio. So we're gonna play a song for you on kazoo.
Okay,
we're really accomplished kazoo players.
Okay,
we practice every day.
I studied at the Sorbonne actually.
That's impressive.
We might have a couple songs for you on kazoo, and if you guess them, you win. What does he win today, Steph?
A hot cup of steam.
A hot cup of steam.
Yep.
If that's what you want, that's what you.
No, actually,
have.
I prefer a big bowl of nothing.
I was gonna offer you a new car, but you know what? Steam's good.
Yeah,
we'll give him steam.
I screwed the pooch on that.
And then you're going to play us a song as a trumpeter. I'm sure you're an accomplished kazoo player as well.
I can mess around.
So shall we start, Jason?
All right.
Do you remember what the first song is?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You better start.
All right, here we go.
Because you're more familiar than me.
Here we go.
That doesn't sound like it.
That's it.
Oh.
Steve Miller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job. You got it.
There it is. It took me a second to figure out what the hell you guys were trying to do.
Right, because we're very good at this.
We play it so well that it takes
a build up in order to.
Thank you for giving me the 15th bar of that. That was the linchpin.
All right, like, it's woo. Now your turn to do a better sounding kazoo version of whatever song you'd like, and we're going to guess it.
Okay, how'd they get my.
Yeah.
Hey, Jude.
See, I let you off the hook with that.
Wow.
You guys were giving me the hard one. I was sure
you were going to go for a more difficult tune than that.
I'm a Beatles head, sorry.
Yeah.
I know. I was trying to warm you guys up easy. Can take the pressure off.
That was too easy.
Yeah, that was too easy.
All right, you ready for our second one?
Yeah, ready.
Yeah.
Okay,
so now. Right. You got to start.
I think I've got, because we have two parts for this one.
Yeah, okay. Jason's right. The bass line.
Okay.
I forgot how it goes.
Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Good job. We're better than we thought.
I'm so glad we didn't have to do any more of that.
Okay. All right. I'm going to run this.
All right. Isn't she lovely?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I know. I'm only thinking about classic. That's the only thing I can think right now is just classic melodies. But that's why they're so good. Because you're like, isn't she lovely?
You get them immediately.
Yeah, yeah. Right? See, that's the
man,
point.
You could win money on this game. You could let you name it in tune. If he'd gone, you'd have got it.
Yeah, I did get it in that.
But that's how good the song is, though.
That's right. It's the song.
I'm actually trying
to
make a point in the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. You did make a point.
I have an agenda here.
Stephen Bradley, you're an excellent kazoo player, and you're a better human, so thank you for hanging out with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Really cool to have you. You win a can of steam or something like that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Awesome.
Two snowballs and a rasher of wind.
Too right.
We'll see you soon, buddy. We're KX93.5.
I'm gonna need someone.